Animal House. From their writings, it is obvious and understandable that physicists themselves haven't fully comprehended and don't quite know what to make of the great truth that they have unwittingly stumbled upon. They have been forced to wrestle, not just intellectually, but emotionally, existentially, and spiritually, with their own discoveries in the quantum realm. Quantum theory has pushed its adherents to the very edge of the unknown, both out in the world and within themselves. In the classic book Quantum Theory and Measurement, which Wheeler co-wrote with Wojciech Sirek, the authors write regarding the quantum, "What else is it but an unfamiliar animal, confined to an animal house? And how else can one better capture its newness than by walking around, looking at it through one window after another, seeking to combine fragmentary views into a total picture? One of the challenges is how to communicate what this mysterious, unfamiliar creature is like to someone who has no comparable reference point. In encountering the mysterious realm of the quantum, we are like blind men touching the proverbial elephant, coming to different conclusions about the nature of the entity we are encountering, depending upon what part of the elephant we are touching. The fact that a person holding onto the elephant's tail thinks the elephant is like a rope, and the person holding onto the elephant's ear thinks it is like a leaf, points to the idea that things depend upon our point of view. But in the quantum world, not only do we reach different conclusions depending on how we touch the system, but the act of making one measurement rules out making a different kind of measurement at the same time. Imagine that when one blind man touches the elephant's trunk, the elephant's leg disappears into a kind of fog, escaping the touch of another blind man. Afterwards, upon returning to the quantum elephant, one of the blind men can touch the elephant's leg, provided they don't try to grasp the trunk at the same time. In coming across the quantum, physicists, using an aperspectival approach, are illuminating a strange object that is casting various shadows on a wall from as many different angles as they can imagine. With enough of these shadows, we can possibly attempt to reconstruct the illuminated object. Though seeming incredibly complicated, which it is on one level, Feynman brings out another perspective when he says, "Perhaps a thing is simple if you can describe it fully in several different ways without immediately knowing that you are describing the same thing." Each of our models for understanding quantum reality has both its utility as well as its limits. The multidimensional nature of quantum reality demands a plurality of perspectives. When all of the various perspectives of the multifaceted quantum reality are combined and looked at together, it gives us a greater resolution and capacity to see what no single vantage point can reveal. It behooves us to light up the quantum from as many different angles as we can imagine. Speaking about quantum theory and the observed phenomena, Bohr says that only by lighting this relationship up from all sides and bringing out its apparent contradictions can we hope to effect that change in our thought processes, which is sine qua non of any true understanding of quantum theory. Any genuine understanding of quantum physics necessarily involves a change in our thought process. This confined, unfamiliar quantum animal is like a multidimensional dream figure, an aspect of ourselves that exists deep within us. We can track its presence within the bubble chamber of our own mind. It reminds me of how we can never directly see an archetype, which represents, in Jung's words, psychic probability, but are only able to circumstantially infer its existence by its effects. Jung writes, "We meet with a similar situation in physics. There, the smallest particles are themselves irrepresentable, but have effects from the nature of which we can build up a model." Jung continues, "Nobody has ever seen an archetype, and nobody has ever seen an atom either. When the existence of two irrepresentable factors are encountered, there is always the possibility that it may not be a question of two factors, but of only one. An archetype, like the atoms of the quantum realm, underlies, informs, and manifests in our third-dimensional world. It is not identical with, but rather transcendent to its spatio-temporal manifestations." It is Jung's opinion that sooner or later nuclear physics and the psychology of the unconscious will draw close together as both of them, independently of one another and from opposite directions, push forward into transcendental territory, the one with the concept of the atom, the other with that of the archetype. There is no space-time inside the atom. The subatomic elementary quantum entities, though never seen directly and not existing in space and time, have a subtle body all their own. Through their subtle body, These quantum entities leave their calling card, so to speak, making an impression on both our experimental apparatus as well as within our minds. The realm of subtle bodies exists in a state between matter and spirit, like some sort of intermediate realm, similar to a Tibetan bardo, that is, a gap or in-between state. To quote Jung, there did exist an intermediate realm between mind and matter, that is, a psychic realm of subtle bodies whose characteristic it is to manifest themselves in a mental as well as a material form. The subtle body of the quantum realm is both an expression of, as well as a doorway into, the indissoluble unity of physis, a Greek word which means nature, and psyche, which is a part of nature. From all appearances, it seems as if our world is a lower-level reflection or projection of a higher-dimensional reality, much like Plato's shadows on the walls of the proverbial cave.